This is the oral history audio interview with Carol Hassel. She is the executive director and founder of the Georgia Piedmont Land Trust. Hey, Carol, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. Hope you are too.
I'm doing just fine, thank you. We do this for historical purposes. Is it okay if we record this?
Yes, it is. I'm fine with that.
Okay, awesome. So we will go ahead and get started. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I was actually born in the other Duluth. That would be Duluth, Minnesota.
Okay.
And I lived there until partway through grade school. And my father was then transferred to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I lived there for a portion of my life. And then a couple other places. I lived in upstate New York for a little while, in California and whatnot. And then down here, but I've been here for quite a number of years.
Okay. When did you move to Georgia?
I think initially in about 1970, I think.
Okay.
And I was here for a couple, 3 years, and then my husband was transferred to California, so we went out there, but we liked it here so much that we came back. We deliberately made a move to come back to Georgia.
Okay.
And that was in about, I think that was in 1975, I believe.
Okay. All right. And do you live in Gwinnett County?
I do, yes. Okay. I actually live in the city of Swanee.
Okay. All right. Well, it's very nice to know that you've lived all over the place and you chose this area to be your home.
Absolutely. Wouldn't trade it for anything.
Okay. So the reason for the interview today is to explain to us what is exactly the Georgia Piedmont Land Trust.
The concept of a land trust is perhaps not something that everybody understands. It is a nonprofit organization, 501c3 nonprofit, that is specifically targeted and whose mission is largely a matter of focusing on permanent protection of land, usually in a relatively undeveloped state, but sometimes for agricultural purposes or things of that nature. So it's all about land conservation and making sure that there is land that is not converted and that provides area for habitat and for woodlands and forests and wetlands and clean water and so on.
Okay. So when was this organization founded?
The organization that became the Georgia Piedmont Land Trust was actually founded in 1998 as a 501c3, as a nonprofit organization. We were entirely comprised, the founding members, there were seven of us, were entirely comprised of Gwinnett County residents. And at the time, we called ourselves the Gwinnett Open Land Trust because we thought we were going to focus entirely on Gwinnett. But we discovered very, very soon after that there were places that needed to be permanently protected and permanently conserved in other places throughout the state as well. And as we expanded and as landowners came to us and asked, could we protect their land too, but we're not in Gwinnett, we decided that we would expand our focus a little bit. And so subsequently changed our name to the Georgia Piedmont Land Trust in about 2008.
Okay. So what inspired these seven members to create this?
There was a little bit of controversy going on in the mid to late 1990s, and I think the sort of iconic activity that all of this was galvanized around was the proposed rezoning of some very, very pretty, very beautiful farmland and associated wetlands that subsequently became the Mall of Georgia. There were quite a number of people who were residents in Gwinnett County who were very disturbed by that and by the understanding that taking that large a chunk of natural land and converting it to asphalt and buildings would damage the environment in the particular area. And so there were a number of us who were sort of galvanized by that activity, and we said to ourselves, how can we make sure that there is at least some land in Gwinnett County that is permanently protected, that stays as trees and woodlands, wetlands, forest land, whatever. And so we did some exploration because none of us knew what the answer to that question was. We did research and investigation and finally came to understand through some folks that we met up at UGA that the way to permanently protect land on the part of, if it's not a government that's going to be doing the protection, that the way to permanently protect land is through the efforts of a 501c3 nonprofit called a land trust. And we decided that we would form an organization like that with the idea of specifically at the time of preserving land in Gwinnett County. But then, as I say, we subsequently expanded beyond that base of operations.
Mm-hmm. So what was your first project in Gwinnett County?
We took a piece of land, a piece of land that actually lies on Sweetwater Creek. It was a stream corridor, and it was donated to us actually by some developers. And I think the reason that they probably were interested in doing that, at least initially, is because they didn't figure the stream corridor was good for anything. We disagreed with that. And so we took that property, and that continues today as one of our sort of very important properties in Gwinnett County because it does front on Sweetwater Creek and helps with water quality in that stream that is pretty iconic and runs through a lot of Gwinnett County.
Okay. And what conservation practices are you using there? Is it like a park or a trail or
There are trails through it. We've not tried to develop it as a park or tried to do anything that requires a lot of infrastructure. Because for one thing, this is not about infrastructure. It's about keeping places native. We made it very clear to the neighbors in that particular community that they were welcome to, go down there and walk along the creek and walk on the stream corridor. And if they wanted to, they could take their dogs down there as long as they were, careful about maintaining control over the animals and so on. And we also encouraged them to enjoy that area because there was a lot of wildlife in it and great bird watching. I would go there from time to time and just do some bird watching because there was a little wetland area at one end of it that was great for watching, water birds and so on. So it was more like an informal park, I guess you would say, and an informal amenity to that particular community. And people did enjoy it as such. And in fact, during the course of the initial years of the organization, there were a number of Eagle Scouts who did their Eagle Scout projects on that particular piece of property, including clearing areas in a way that would create paths, soft surface paths, not paved, but soft surface paths through the area. And at one time, they had built one of the scouts had built a like an archway that was an entry into this sort of informal woodland park.
That's very interesting. Very interesting. So what are some of the other areas within Gwinnett County that are protected by this land trust?
We have a 50-acre former farm the portion of Gwinnett County unincorporated that's south of the city of Snellville. So it's almost exactly at the opposite end of the county. And it was owned by a woman and her husband who were very well known in Gwinnett County at the time. Her name was Mary Kistner. She was well known in the arts community in Gwinnett County at one time. Her husband was works for the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture. So they were both very much into farming and agricultural activities. And they had purchased this land that we own now. They had purchased this land and adjacent lands as well. They owned a pretty good spread of land at one point in time. And for the most part, they used it for running cattle. They had a cattle herd there. And we had heard that one of their early experiences in attempting to put cattle on the property or to hay portions of it, they wanted to grow hay on portions of it, was that the soil was so poor at that time and in that particular location that they actually spent several years just planting various grasses and letting them grow, come to maturity, refeed, and then cutting them down and just letting them lay there to nurture the soil so that the soil would be enriched enough that they could actually pasture animals on it and they could actually grow hay on it. And they did that. They did that for a number of years, but they did have to work hard to bring that soil back from some pretty intensive and not very good agricultural practices that had preceded their ownership of the land. So that's one very important property that we own. We also are involved in either owning or having conservation easements, and I'll explain that in a moment, having some kind of permanent protection interest in properties that lie along not only Sweetwater Creek, but Brumelow Creek and Beaver Ruin Creek. So a lot of those kinds of areas where there are stream corridors that are technically not buildable, but there's still an awful lot of damage that could be done to them if they were not properly protected. We are partners with Gwinnett County in an improvement of a river corridor called Sweetwater Creek at Old North Cross Road. And on one portion of that particular property, the county has an improvement plan underway. It's called a mitigation plan underway, in which they have improved the stream banks and done some replanting and so on to restructure stream banks and whatnot. And we actually own the other side of that particular piece of property. So we work with them in making sure that this stream is restored and maintained as an active and healthy streamway, and that will contribute to water quality in the county. So those are just some of them. We also have an easement on a portion of the property that belongs to the county and is becoming what's known as Beaver Ruin Park. The easement was actually placed on portions of that land well before the county took ownership of it, and we inherited or took on the easement because the organization that originally had taken it was struggling, and so we offered to take the easement from them to make sure that the conservation protection would continue forward. And then subsequently, the county bought that property, and so again, we are partners with the county on that very, very important park area. The park itself was designated for that location in part because it is in an underserved area, underserved in the sense of not enough parks in that particular area. And so that was a good location for a park, but also because we were interested in water quality in that particular area, and so is the county. So there is a stream improvement plan, which I think is actually just about completed now, but there's a stream improvement plan that's been implemented in that particular park. So that's going to be a fabulous park when it finally opens, and we are very, very proud to be partners with the county in that regard.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So tell me a little bit about the Callaway Garner Cemetery, which is adjacent to Sugar Hill.
Right. That was actually one of our earlier undertakings, I guess you could say. At the intersection of Swanee Dam and Buford Dam roads, and this was well before the school cluster that is currently there, North Gwinnett School Cluster, was a reality. At that intersection, there was a rather small family cemetery, and it had been initiated or started by some farm families in that particular area. And it was designated as a cemetery. And there were two farm families that were involved in identifying this land as a burying place, a place of rest for their family members as the times passed. And the two families were the Callaways and the Garners, who I think were fairly well known in that particular part of the county at that time. And I believe, according to the Gwinnett Historical Society, that the actual establishment of that little cemetery dates to the 1880s, I think. But I don't believe there were any deceased people interred there until almost the turn of the century, into the 1900s, that is. It had been designated as a cemetery and had been marked and so on. And there were some folks in that particular area who had lived there for many, many years who had taken upon themselves in a sort of, just informal way to maintain the cemetery and to make sure that the headstones that were there, that they stayed in good shape and that people didn't damage the property in any way, shape, or form. And so in about 2002, there was an attempt made to rezone that cemetery. And I think some of this has to do with the law in Georgia, maybe dating back to the 19th century or even earlier, I don't know, that if a cemetery like that, a little family cemetery, had been designated as a cemetery, then somebody had to be assigned as a trustee to make sure that it was not desecrated after the family members were not available any longer. And apparently that had happened with this particular little cemetery. And there was a man, an attorney, who had been named as the trustee for the cemetery. But then in 2002, he attempted to get it rezoned. And his intentions were to do some commercial development there. Well, there was a woman whose family lived in Beaufort, actually, who found out about this. And her name is Grace Lewis. And at the time, she was an assistant state attorney general. She's an attorney. So an assistant state attorney general. And somehow or the other, she found out that there had been an application filed with the county to rezone that particular property. And she just said, no, this is not going to happen. And so she had contacted some organizations around to find out if there was any kind of an organization that would be willing to be named as a trustee for this property, not an owner, but a trustee for the property, to make sure that the cemetery did not suffer damage. In part of that process also, she made sure that the effort to rezone that property was stopped. So she ended up contacting the organization that at the time was known as the Atlanta Audubon Society. And it just so happened that a friend of mine was active in that organization, as was I. And she called me and she said, I have this problem and we need to find somebody who can protect this property. And I know that that's what you're about with at the time, Gwinnett Open Land Trust. So what do you think? Could you help with this particular property? So we listened to the story and learned the particulars and did research and whatnot, and we decided that, yes, we would accept being named as trustee because it was a means of preserving another portion of Gwinnett County, and it just seemed like the right thing to do. I mean, it seemed like having that property destroyed for the sake of a tiny little commercial development up on the top of that hill because it's elevated a little bit was just not the right thing to do. And so we said, yes, we will be named trustee. So we are to this day. And so ever since 2002, we have been essentially an overseer for this little small cemetery. And it is small. It's only about an acre. It started out being a couple of acres at the maximum, but then there was a road widening and that diminished the size of the site a little bit. So we've been the overseer for that very interesting cemetery. We were aware because of the headstones that were there and the history that we had learned from residents in the area that there were two individuals buried there, and it was a husband and a wife. And they were both the Callaways. They were from the Callaway family. And he apparently passed away in 1893, according to the headstone. and then she in 1898. And the local stories said that there was a child buried there also, but there is no indication of that, and no one knows where that happened. So there's only proof, or there's only solid indication of the two adults, the couple, that are buried there. And their headstones and the stone crypts and whatnot, they are still there. And there's a stone wall, a stacked stone wall that's been built around those two cemeteries. Okay. And then beyond that, in our research, we also discovered that although this did not affect where the bodies were buried, it had become the site of a one-story schoolhouse. And that particular school was called White Oak School. And if anybody who knows the North Gwinnett cluster knows that one of the schools in that cluster is called White Oak School, and I assume that's where that comes from. We found a picture and it was from a document that was compiled by the Georgia Department of Education by one of its rural school agents. And the document was called Educational Survey of Gwinnett County, 1923. And at the time, that survey indicated that there were 20 students enrolled in that school, although the picture that we've got only shows about 10 of the kids there. But it was a single room, single story, little wooden house, little wooden structure that actually was sat on stacked stone pilings, as far as we could tell. And although the foundation is not there any longer, there still are little piles of stones in places that probably would have been where the foundation was located.
So that's also protected.
Oh, yes, that's part of the cemetery. Yes, that little school sits on a portion of that land that apparently the land itself had been designated for additional, you know, burials should they be needed. And so the school location is on an area where there were no bodies buried. No, there were no graves or anything there, but it was just on a piece of what was the cemetery. So we have this wonderful little piece of Gwinnett history that has history in two different ways, and we are the trustee for that property, and I think everybody's very proud of that.
Yes, definitely. In your conservation preservation practices, y'all go in and clean it up, or what do you do for this property?
For that particular property?
Uh-huh.
Or any property?
Well, both.
Well, let me talk about that in two different ways. As far as the cemetery is concerned, the Sugar Hill Historic Preservation Society is aware of that property, as is the Gwinnett County Historic Preservation Society, and they have taken it upon themselves to help keep it in good shape. So in instances like that, we've had some help from people who also care about the history of that particular property and of that particular area. In general, when we accept a piece of property under protection, it really depends on who owns the property and what the purpose of the preservation is for. So what we do or don't do to it kind of varies, actually. In the case of stream corridors, we don't do anything to them other than make sure that, we're visiting there to make sure that people aren't doing bad things there and hopefully not throwing trash, although that happens. And there again, we've got a partnership with Gwinnett County Department of Water Management for stream cleanup efforts, because unfortunately, there is trash that comes down in some of those creeks and streams and ends up, you know, getting lodged against the creek sides and whatnot, the stream sides. And so we do stream cleanups in an attempt to help clean up some of that, some of what people should not be dumping into creeks, but they are. In other cases, we might do something a little different. In some cases, when the property has endangered plant species or something of value like that that would not do well if people were visiting it much, we may be we may just not talk about it very much. We may be as protective of the property as we possibly can. There is a site in Gwinnett County that we have an easement on that has a couple of listed plant species. And by listed, I mean they are listed by the Georgia Department of Natural Resources and, in one case, by the federal authorities as being endangered plant species. We don't really talk about that a lot because it's more important to protect the plants and protect the species in their very fragile environment than it is to, you know, have people tromping through there all the time. So that's a little different way of approaching that land. It's a little more protective to the extent that we can do so. But we're doing that in an effort to help native plant preservation. Okay. So that's another way that we do that.
Do you do the same thing with animals as well?
We would if the situation arose. As it happens in Gwinnett County and actually throughout most of the northern part of Georgia, we happen not to have we have land that potentially could be habitat for some rare and endangered species, but they have not been found there. And so in those instances, we are being careful about managing the property or overseeing that the ownership of the property so that the land is properly managed and not damaged in any fashion. But there's no active protection of animals going on simply because there's been no proof that they exist in those locations. So it kind of varies a little bit as nature varies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell me some other things that this organization does, whether it's partnerships with other organizations or, I don't know, educational outreach. What are some other things that this organization does?
Work in both of those categories of the area. It is in the past, I guess, 10 years, I would say, helping to preserve historic landscapes, historic sites has become a very, very important part of what we are doing. And so, you know, sometimes land conservation is important because we want to make sure that the history of mankind on it is preserved as well. So we hold easements on a number of historic battlefields. We actually own a battlefield and are very actively engaged in helping to protect some of those kinds of land. One of the more recent easements that we've taken in that particular category is an easement on a battlefield that's called Kettle Creek Battlefield. That's located in Wilkes County, which is about halfway between here and Augusta, I guess. I would say, and it is one of the very few sites of a battle, of a military engagement from the Revolutionary War that occurred in the state of Georgia. There were some battles that took place in Georgia from the Revolutionary War, but not many. And the problem was that most of the land that those engagements took place on had been converted into other uses. And so their value as archaeological sites and as historic sites was pretty damaged. This particular location is pretty intact. And so we have the great honor of holding the easement on that particular property.
Okay.
We also have a number of easements on historic battlefields up in the northwestern corner of the county, up in the Chickamauga area and thereabouts. The National Park Service, National Historic Battlefield Association, I guess is the proper designation, it has been attempting through the decades to acquire the land that forms the basis of, or that forms the site of the Chickamauga battle and the battles that took place around that. And so there's a lot of land in that area that has historic significance. And we've been working with a very wonderful organization called the American Battlefield Trust to acquire various lands that at one time were part of that battlefield or battlefields, there were a number of them, and make sure that they are protected. And so we've got, I think, about five different easements on properties in that area. And one day, the hope is that they will be incorporated into the Chickamauga National Battlefield Park, Chattanooga Chickamauga National Battlefield Park, I think is the proper name for it. And then finally, we actually own a piece of property which is part of the site of the sort of the precursor to the Battle of Atlanta. We own a piece of property in Cobb County that's called that was part of a defensive line. The portion we own is called Lost Mountain, but Lost Mountain was part of a line of defense that the Confederate Army had created that stretched from Kennesaw down to the southwest to its terminal point at Lost Mountain, and it was an effort to stave off the oncoming military from the north. And so, of course, Kennesaw is well preserved and has been preserved for a very long time. But the other mountains, and I use that word loosely because they're not really very tall, the mountains were not, well, the other mountains that are included other than Kennesaw in that line of protection were not well protected. But Lost Mountain, we were able to be a part of the effort that got control of that outpost of that particular defensive line. And so we own that today. Right now, we are just leaving it as it is. It's fine if people go out there and hike or, birdwatch or whatever. But at some point in time, we hope that that will become a place where people can visit and learn about the history of that particular area.
Okay. Is there any other larger projects within Georgia that you haven't already mentioned that you may want to include?
There's we have an interesting piece of property which we actually own down in Coweta County. And it was, at one time, well, there's a creek that runs through this particular area, and it's called Wahoo Creek. And at one point in time, somebody, a landowner, had decided that it would be a neat thing to dam that creek, create a lake out of it, and then develop the area around the lake so that the lake would become a kind of an amenity for his development. Well, unfortunately, he didn't follow the laws, and so he got himself into a lot of trouble. And the upshot of the whole deal was somebody actually, this was years and years and years ago, somebody actually breached the dam. And so we had received that piece of property because the people who were the owners at the time wanted to make sure that it was conserved. And so they handed it off to us to make sure that happened. Now, the bulwark of the dam is still there. But it was partially breached by this individual who had done so, I think, probably in a fit of spite. And then a storm, a pretty substantial storm came through that area, I don't know, half a dozen years ago, so it's been a while now. And the water that came down Wahoo Creek was substantial enough, the volume of water that came down Wahoo Creek was substantial enough that it breached the rest of the dam, so that the dam was completely blown out. But now what there is in its place is a creek which has gone back to its historic boundaries, more or less. And during the time that was a kind of a shallow little lake, it sort of changed into a little wettish area. I don't know that it's necessarily a wet one, but it's a very damp area, and it's a place where there are lots of birds and wildlife and so on. And so we would like at some point in time for that to become a place that people can enjoy as well. And because it's got a kind of an interesting history to it.
Okay. So I'm just looking through the notes to see if we have covered everything. Is there anything else that you wanted to add that you can think of?
I guess I should add a couple more things, because you did ask about education as well, but there's another project that we have and have been a part of permanently protecting that we're very proud of. And this is a tiny, tiny little piece of land. In Candler Park, there is a piece of land that is essentially, it's a kind of a landlocked little piece of land that is called Mulberry Field. And it was acquired by two property owners, actually four property owners, who live adjacent to this property. The property had been put under contract. The property I'm speaking of had been put under contract, about 3/4 of an acre. It's very tiny. And the intention of the individual who put it under contract was that he was going to build what is not so kindly called a McMansion in that particular area. And the adjacent lot owners just said, no, this is an historic neighborhood. We don't want that here. And so they bought the property out of their own pockets. And one of the women of this group of individuals was a gardener, an avid gardener. And she had the dream that this would become a community garden for that area. And this was way before everybody else was doing community gardens, basically. And so she turned that little property into, she and her husband and other friends, turned that property into a beautiful little community garden, and they leased the plots out and had people come in and help doing volunteer maintenance on the property and so on and so forth. They paid for the water bills out of their own pockets. And I mean, they really, really took on the effort of saving that property. And in order to make sure that that effort didn't go to waste and that it didn't get converted into something else, the woman who was the avid gardener had gotten in touch with me, and we started talking about how could that group of individuals make sure that this is permanently protected. And so actually almost 10 years ago now, we put that particular piece of property under a conservation easement, which is, it's an arrangement in which we don't own the property, but we have a binding legal agreement that travels with the deed on the property that says you can't do various things on the property, and the only purpose for which it can be used in this case is as a community garden. And they also have a little enclosure on a part of it where they keep goats, little goats, and they have chickens and so on and so forth. So, and it is a gem in this particular neighborhood. So we are very proud of that. So that's kind of that's an idea of the range of different properties that we have under protection. The value as conservation properties is quite different, actually. But each reason for conserving a piece of property permanently is just as valid as the other. It's different because the property is different. Right. And then I guess I finally would mention that we have done everything we possibly can with, you know, limited means and limited scope of ability and whatnot to educate people about the value of land conservation and why it's important to do that and why it's important to even to do things like garden using organically appropriate methods and so on. And so I can't even begin to tell you how many presentations I've done along those lines. And we all do that. We all do whatever we can. There are other board members who, and members of the organization who are very active in stream cleanups and have been working with the county stream, as I said, the county Department of Water Resources on stream cleanup programs and so on. So we do as much as we possibly can to help people understand that there's an important reason for protecting property and making sure that it doesn't get converted into something inappropriate.
Right. And your organization, founders, was seven. How big is your organization today?
Right now, we've got six board members because we just, unfortunately, we've lost a couple through some illness and so on. But, that has fluctuated over the years. But right now, we're at six. And then we have some volunteers, and we also have some folks who help us with monitoring the properties. One of the very important duties that we have as a land conservation organization is to make sure that we're putting our eyes on each one of those tracts of land at least once a year to make sure that you know, bad things aren't happening, or if something bad does happen, that we make sure that it gets fixed and improved and, you know, corrected, I guess I should say. So the number of people who are involved fluctuates, maybe as many as 30 or 40 help us at various times and so on. But we're a small group, and we are very dedicated to what we're doing.
Okay.
And we would love other people to become involved with us if that's what their passion is, because we got room for more.
Okay. So that being said, is there anything else that I have not asked you that you might want to add?
I guess as a final indicator of how serious we are about this and how important we think this process is, I would indicate that we are, back in 2015, we became accredited. We went through a program that is run by a national organization to accredit land trusts specifically, because we are very, very different from most types of nonprofits, and we have very different requirements and very different activities that we engage in on a regular basis. So we had decided that the credibility that was part of becoming accredited was an important characteristic for us. It was important for us to be aiming for that. And so in 2015, we became accredited, and then we became reaccredited. In other words, we passed muster a second time in 2020, and now we are on a third accreditation process. And that's all about being subjected to outside review so that people just in general who happen across our organization can have the assurance that this is a credible organization that is run according to appropriate nonprofit standards and governance principles, and that we practice good land conservation. So we're on our third time around with that, and we are extremely proud of that, because we've done that as a very tiny organization, relatively speaking, and because we do think that that's very important, that people understand that this is a highly credible activity, and you know, we're doing it the right way.
Okay. And we appreciate that.
Thank you.
So,
thank you for sure.
If someone wanted more information about your trust, how would they go about finding you? Or if someone wanted to volunteer,
we would welcome all of the above. And our website is gplt.org. So the first initial in each part of that title, gplt.org, for our website.
Okay. Well, we sure do appreciate your time today for giving this for historical purposes. And we will have this posted on our public historical site for all those interested to enjoy. And again, we appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you for coming to learn about the Georgia Piedmont Land Trust, because we do think that we are a contributor to the good life in Gwinnett County.
All right. Thank you.